Turn with me to Romans chapter 4, and we will begin our reading at verse 18. I want to read through the balance of this chapter just to introduce you to our subject this morning. And since I'm going to be reading several verses, let me invite you again, if you're able, to stand in reverence of God's Word. And we'll begin our reading in Romans 4 at verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification. This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. You may be seated. Now, we started out a couple of weeks ago looking at this faith of Abraham. We saw his crisis of faith when God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees and he obeyed. You see, the crisis of faith is that we must believe what God has told us and then act on it. Many people say they believe God, but they're not acting on what God has told them. Abraham acted and left everything. Now, at 85 years of age, he reaffirms his faith in Genesis chapter 15. God had promised him an offspring. Yet, he waits another year. He's 86 years of age. And here's where he made his terrible mistake. He decides it's time to help God out, and so he fathers a child with Hagar. That was not God's will, and that's had terrible consequences across the centuries. We come now to Genesis chapter 17. And I know we just turn a page in our Bible, but I want to remind you that 24 years have passed since he left Ur of the Chaldees, since he first heard the call. Now, God commands him to be circumcised. That was a sign and seal of the covenant that Abraham had entered into with God. Today, that has been replaced with baptism. And through water baptism, we testify to our covenant relationship with God. Now, I want you to get the feeling that Abraham is growing in faith as he continues to walk with God, as he continues to obey. And as he obeys, the will of God comes into focus and becomes more clear. But now he realizes that God will fulfill his promise supernaturally, that his offspring will come through his own wife, Sarah. He realizes that what he had tried to do through Hagar and his son Ishmael, that would not be the child of promise. Now, Abraham has waited, and it's up to a point where he's 99 years of age. 13 years have passed since he tried to help God, since he tried to speed things up. Now he's 100 years old, and now he realizes that if he's ever going to realize this son of promise, it'll be what God does and not what he does. You know, sometimes God allows us to get to the end of ourselves because he's teaching us dependence on him. You notice the language in verse 19. Abraham realizes that he's as good as dead. That if he and Sarah are ever going to have a child, God's going to have to intervene. But notice while he is growing weaker physically, his faith is growing stronger. Isn't that what Paul says? When the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. And verse 20 says that his faith does not waver. Says 90, her womb is dead. Naturally speaking, she is not able to conceive and to bear children. Now, you notice in verse 19 that Abraham faces the fact. Sometimes we're told that faith is a presumption, that we close our eyes and jump. It's a leap in the dark. No, Abraham faced the facts. This was not some irrational leap of faith. He knew that he could not ever expect to have a child through his own ability. And yet he believes God anyway, because Abraham is coming to realize that even though he is unable, he's coming to have faith in a God who is abundantly able. And so in verse 21, you see that he is fully persuaded. Now, I want to say that's a good way to live. And I hope that every one of us are living the life of faith. Fully persuaded. We can live with a full assurance. We may be very conscious that we're helpless, that we're unable to step in and change things. But we can also live with this confidence that our God is big enough to do everything that needs to be done. Let me tell you, that's a good way to live. You don't have to live in fear and dread, anxious every day, wondering if God's going to come through. We can come to this point of full assurance. And I want us to really ask this question as we look at the text. How do we grow in faith? How do we come to this relationship of full assurance? Well, it may not happen immediately. It may not happen overnight. Again, I want to remind you that from the time Abraham first started hearing and responding to God's call until he comes to this point of the full assurance of faith, 24 years had passed. But he had come to find God faithful. God had never broken his word. And Abraham grows to this point where physically, when things look the most dark, when things look the most helpless, yet he has the most confidence and the most faith. How do we get to that point? Let me try to share with you 3 points here. First of all, we develop this full confidence in God as we learn who he is and trust what he has said. Learn who he is. You see, Abraham had come to know God, and he heard his voice 24 years earlier, but now he has walked with him. And he has found God to be completely reliable. And you see, we must learn to turn away from the circumstances. Not that we deny them, but we turn our eyes and our faith to the Lord Jesus. Notice what the Bible tells us in verse 17. It talks about the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Our God is so great, he's so omnipotent, that God can speak into existence things that had not previously been in existence. God is the God who created the heavens and the earth. And in the beginning, God looked into the void. He looks into the darkness, and he says, "Let there be." And whatever God declared was, that became the reality. Sometimes in class we use a Latin phrase, ex nihilo. That means he created out of nothing. You know, the real question is, if God started with something and only improved on it, then the next question will be, where did those original building blocks come into play? How did they come into creation? God started with absolutely nothing, and by the authority of his word, he spoke and said, "Let there be." Now, let me say that the God who created out of nothing is still able to speak that word of authority. God is still able to decree, "Let there be." And in your situation, when God says, "Let there be," you can take it to the bank. You can go to sleep on it. You don't need to pace before. You don't need to be up all night worried whether it's going to come through or not. When God decrees something, it will come to pass. Now, this has been completely misunderstood, and there are those who are